Blog Talk Radio.
Trouble in my way, trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes, I have to cry sometimes. Trouble in my way, trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, I lay awake at night. And that's all right. That's all right, for I know that my Jesus, he'll fix it after a while, after a while. Trouble in my way, trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes, I have to cry some. Trouble in my way, trouble in my way. I have to cry sometimes, I have to cry sometimes. I lay awake at night, I lay awake at night. But that's alright, that is alright. For I know that my Jesus, Jesus, he will fix it after a while, after a while. Trouble in the church, trouble in the church. We have to pray sometimes. We have to pray sometimes. Trouble in the church. Trouble in the church. We have to pray sometimes. We have to pray sometimes. I lay awake at night. I lay awake at night. Yeah, but that's alright. That is alright. For I know that my Jesus, Jesus, he will fix it. After a while, after a while, trouble on my job, trouble on my job. I have to pray sometimes, I have to pray sometimes. Trouble on my job, trouble on my job. I have to pray sometimes, I have to pray sometimes. I lay awake at night, I lay awake at night. But oh, that's all right.
Church of Christ, we're on earth today. That's all right.
But God is still good, even on a worst day. We just doing all right. God is a blessing. This weather's changing, and mess around and cut my hair down a little bit, and the effect of that wind on top of that hair is real. And so I have to make sure I keep that in mind from time to time. But I'm just excited. I don't know about y'all. It has nothing to do with my voice a little. Course, I'm just excited for what God is doing in my life. Do you believe that Jesus can fix whatever your problem is? Do you believe that whatever the situation is you may be going through, that we have a God, we serve a God who sits high and looks low, has a panoramic view of everything going on, and can take care of our problem? Good to see you, Mike Arnold. Amen, somebody. Yeah, go on, get your testimony in there, Brother Jeff. Brother John, see it, God, because we serve a God that's better to us than we've ever been to ourselves. I know I'm right about that. I'm so excited right now. Most of you have seen my test. I've been through two language classes, and I've been waiting a long time, almost a whole year. And tomorrow I get to dive off into another sea of learning, and as well another sea of income. I'm asking you guys to pray for me, pray for my wife, and pray for his ministry as God blows us up and helps us to increase little bit by little to help everything we do will be in ministry. John Fitzgerald out there, good to see you guys. John Austin and your wife, Sharon, out there in Minnesota. Good to have you all with us this evening. I see your preacher, Russell Pointer, was here in town, so we just ask you to continue to pray for us. But God is a good God, man. In spite of whoever's in the presidency, he ain't the real president. We got a God who sits high and looks low and can either place or remove kings and queens. Amen, somebody. So we just have to continue to stay true. Faith is stronger than your pistol. Can I tell you that today? Faith is stronger than your pistol. Yes, I appreciate you sharing that, John. Anyone get a chance to share the video, viewers, so we can let it go off. And we're broadcasting live right now on Blog Talk Radio. So I want you guys to know that we're also broadcasting in Norway right now. We're also broadcasting through our Fighting and Incarcerated Mind, through the Incarnated Christ, through Canada right now. And we're also broadcasting throughout the continental United States. So even though you're getting the video, you're also getting the audio. The audio is being broadcast into the entire world. And we're just so excited. Colonel Dawson, good to see you. God bless you this evening. God bless you. So we're going to sing a couple more songs as I try to loosen and warm my voice up. We're going to have our communion, we'll have prayer, have our communion, and then we will get to the meat at hand. What God's word has for us today. Amen? Is that all right with you? So if you have any prayer requests, you can type them in if you're on Facebook Live. And what I would like you to do, if you get a chance, and I hope you would like to, is call in at 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. That is our Blog Talk line, and you'll be able to, at the completion, you'll come in all over to hear everything, along with watching it on Facebook, but you'll also, at the completion, I'm going to go to the callers that are on that line, and we'll be able to talk a little bit and be able to respond about the lesson, and you may say something. Hear me now. You may say something that someone in another country or another location needs to hear. So you don't know how powerful what God is doing in your experiential life, exponentially, that you can help somebody else out. Just live the life. Give God your life, and he'll take care of your living. Amen, somebody. Oh, how I love Jesus. Anybody love Jesus today? There is a name I love to give. I love to sing. It's a word. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. And and it turned me out of state. Good love who died to set me free. It turned me out of fresh. Just blood that's in a perfect plea. Sing it, y'all. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Do you understand that the love that you experience, anything you understand about love, comes because God first loved us? And God don't just love, he so loves. He so loves. Everything God does is to extreme. Everything God does is to the furthest on the Richter scale. God doesn't do anything average. And certainly does nothing below average. Even in his chastisement, it's for our betterment. Because many times God's not worried about your comfort. Amen, somebody. Got any testimony tonight? He's not worried about your comfort. He's trying to get your character together. Amen. Leaning on the everlasting arms, afterwards we'll have a word of prayer, and then we will get to the matter at hand. Praise God. What from fellowship, what a joy divine leading of the everlasting arms, and what a blessed is, what peace is my leading on the everlasting arms. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all alarms. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. And oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's see it, John. So oh, how bright the path is from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all along. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. Here we are leaning on the everlasting arms. What about this verse, y'all? What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. You see, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are safe and secure from all alarms. Well, we are leaning on Jesus Christ, our Savior. We are leaning on the everlasting. Are you leaning on the powerful arms of Jesus even today? Again, let me give you that number again as we're ready to prepare for communion. That is 619. You can write it down if you would. 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767.
and you'll be able to talk to those that are online as well, and we'll be able to converse at the conclusion of the message. All right, it's communion time. It's communion time. And the purpose of communion is to remember what took place on Golgotha Hill. Well, I know some of you are scared to say Golgotha. One of the writers calls it Calgary, right? We have no problem talking about Calgary, but two of the authors called it Golgotha. Sounds like there's more inference or more intent on Golgotha than it is on just Calgary. Almost the same location, the place of the skull. But it takes a dying Jesus for us to experience a resurrected Christ. Did you hear me? It takes the dying Messiah that is mission-minded in order for us to experience a resurrected Christ. And the same power, hear me now, the same power that raised Jesus up from the grave is the same power. We have the ability, if you're in relationship with God, through obedience to the gospel message, that same power lifts you up today, invigorates you today, and gives you the ability to stand even today. Let us have communion. As and if my Savior lead, and in the self burn die, will he devote that sacred for such a worm as I? It was at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. It was at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart went away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. We find in the first century that the breaking of bread that was done by the apostles and the early church was synonymously equal to looking at as having communion. And even the early church, if we tell the story and go back into history, every day when they broke bread from house to house, they also had the Lord's Supper meal. We find that we are steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. We find apostolic example in Acts 27, that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul continued teaching until midnight. We also see that Paul, who used to be Saul, picked up the pen in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23, and he said words of this such: I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he broke it, he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup, after his supped, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. So but let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and weakly among them, and many did sleep. Many of us today are still taking the Lord's Supper in unworthy manners. We're not concerned about how we treat one another. We're not concerned about how we interact with one another. Matter of fact, we're not even concerned about how the Lord feels about us. And so you're taking it in an unworthy manner. When it's worship time, and 24/7 is worship time, but we come together corporately and we worship today in spirit and in truth, it's important to keep all focus on Jesus. Remember what he did for you, what you couldn't do for yourself on Golgotha Hill. And so as we take his broken body and as we drink his shedded blood, we take it with clean hands and a pure heart. As we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's together pray. Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body. We thank you for the cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray, Father, that we understand what we're doing and that we continue to go forward to be blessed by you. And we thank you as we follow the apostles' doctrine and we follow as often as they took it. We also want to make sure that we're in step with that. Acts 20:7 says upon the first day of the week. But if we want to take it every day at the meal as we see that they did in the early church, we would not be out of sight. We do it in remembrance of you. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for the bread and the wine. And we thank you for your sacrifice of love for us. This is what we ask today in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen. Amen and amen again. You may drink up the bread, and you may drink up the wine and eat the bread. I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood, oh yes, and I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Amen. We have online giving, and at the completion of the service today, we have an opportunity to do that as well. But we want to get to the Word of God. We want to get to the Word of God. If you would turn with me today to the book of Mark, the book of Mark in the New Testament, and we're going to take a look beginning at verse number 17. We're going to see youth, and we're going to see wealth, combination, all in the position of one human being. Youth, wealth, and position. Isn't that interesting? And it's a blessing because it doesn't matter how old you are. God wants you to He wants to utilize you even at a young age. And the more time you spend with God, the more youthful you're going to feel. Doesn't matter how old you are. If your status is pretty high, worried about others what others are going to think of you, you don't have to worry about that because status is not a requirement for God. Your wealth, and that could be your bank account or it could just be your possessions, are high exceeding that you have trouble having a poor spirit mentality. I'm here to tell you today, unless God breaks you, he cannot, he will not put you back together. Stress kills. And we have the ability today to understand some things by this rich young ruler. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about your life as we go over this text today. Because you may not have the finance or the positioning or come from a status line as the rich young ruler did. Good to see you, Brittany. Praise God for you. But what we do see is that with God, we're all rich in one aspect or another. And spiritual richness, spiritual youth, and spiritual position far outweighs anything that you'll find here on this world. Let's get to the text today. We're looking at Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. As he was setting on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, right off the bat, I love the way this is being set up. Here comes somebody to Jesus. Not just haphazardly, they see Jesus, they run to Jesus, and they fall down to worship him. Fall down before him. They give him the respect, Rabbi, Master, the one I, right? Good teacher. And then they ask the question that they really, that's really puzzling them. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And I want each of us to understand that there's something that we also must do, each and every one of us, in order to participate in life eternal that's been prepared for us. God has done his part. He has left heaven's best, came down through 32 generations, or 72 generations if you go back to Adam in the book of Luke, and he left the pinnacles of heaven to come and bust into the sin-cursed ghetto world. Because he loves you, and he loved me. Jesus was doing all right where he was at. He had passed the test, and right now he's seated at the right hand of God. But he's awaiting word from his Father. Go get him. Go pray, my people. Let my people go pray them. Here, Jesus. And the only way you can go and be with Jesus is if you're covered by the blood of Jesus. There'll be no blood transfusion on that great getting up day. There'll be no last minute snap day shortcut movement on that last day. When you hear God's word, even today, as we take a look in the scriptures, as you hear God's word, and we're always asking God, but now when God is speaking to you through his word, are you listening? Because listening is critical to being able to understand. And without understanding, there is no belief. And so many times we don't understand because we don't have good listening skills. We don't want to hear what God says to Lord. And we want to hear from God when we get ourselves in trouble. Oh, Lord, help me, save me. But you're to prepare for war in a time of peace. When things are going well, are you still praising God? Are you showing to the hilltops of God that somebody else knows that you serve the God of heaven? So when you go to your job, they really believe that you belong to Satan. So God's worried about our character. He's concerned about our behavior. And he takes us through things to help us work on those areas of our lives. That's why the Bible says all things work together for the good and the love of the Lord according to his purpose. God has a purpose. He has a purpose for your life as he has a purpose for my life. Our job is to tap into that so that we can be effective for the Lord. And when you give God your life, well, you no longer have to worry about eating. Because you know God going to take care of you. Or you may not know what time, you may not see it, but God has a great daytime. You don't have to worry about every not eating. Because God's going to make sure that you are nourished well. God takes care of his children. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's not behind in child support payments. God's up to date. Matter of fact, God's beyond up to date. He's paid for your entire life up front before you even got here. We serve a good God that loves us. That loves us. So, verse 17 of the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. As he was setting out on a journey, here he is. Jesus didn't stay in one place too long. He had to keep moving. He had to keep moving. There's so much he needed to get done in a 3-year span. Plus, he knew that he had folks that was looking for him that wanted to kill him. So he had to be a moving target. But someone recognized him. And this man, in spite of what was going on in society, ran up to Jesus. Wasn't worried about what others thought. Knelt down before Jesus. Wasn't worried about what others thought. And had a question, an inquiry, a petition, a prayer request for Jesus. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Two things we need to understand. If you're not in the lineage of God, you'll never be an heir of God. And for the blessings that come with being with God, eternal life in heaven with God, you cannot have unless you are in the family line. So he questions that. And then he makes this thing personal. He says, listen, I know I have to do something. I have to move. I have to act. Will you tell me what it is I need to do? Because what's more important to me at this juncture in my life, and this is a young man, is living eternal with you. Because I know that you are the walking Messiah. But you see, when Mark chapter 10, verse 17. So Jesus utters me the person on their level. You come to me with this question. You come to me with a posture of correctness, right? You're kneeling down before me. You run to me with urgency, and you want an answer to something you don't understand. So Jesus flips the script, and he asks him, why do you call me good? He really wants to know what this man thinks about him and what he really knows about him. How good is good? Okay? And is the good of God getting gooder every day? See, he asks the question, why do you call me good? What does good mean to you? Good to see you, Joe Rio. Well, Mark chapter 10, verse 17. What does good mean to you? See, Jesus said, I need to understand where you're at. I need to meet you on your level so I can take you where I need you to be or answer your questions so that you will be clear on the answer. come to us with questions, Bible questions, sin questions, that we never have the answer in, but we know how to find it. We get scared. So we meander around and filibuster and may never give them what they really need at that point in time, so that they too can inherit eternal life. But he says, why did you call me good? If you know my history, I'm from Nazareth. Why do you call me good? Yes, you know, I'm teaching. But what is it about my teaching that is good to you? And that's a powerful question. See, Jesus put the B clause on there because he also says no one is good but one God. So he's asking, what do you know about me? He really wants to tap into a confession of what his belief system is about him. So you don't just run up on Jesus and treat him like a genie in the bottle. Oh, let me just rub this genie three times, rub this bottle three times, and you're going to grant my wish. And after three, then, you know, I just discard the bottle. That's what we do when we get in the jail. God, help me, pray for me, God. I need your help. God gets you out of the jail when he knows you don't deserve it. Right? And expecting you to hopefully make a return, but also letting you see in the mirror that you really won't mean what you said. But I won't start crying, cutting deals with the Lord. I'll go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible three times a day. I won't cuss nobody out. Oh, you know all those things that you say to God when you're in trouble? But God wants to know what you believe. Who do you think he's connected to? So you run to me with urgency. You bow down to worship in front of me. And with expediency, you ask the question. But you also make a statement about knowing who I am. You called me good. I want to know why you call me good. For no one is good but one, that's God. So do you understand that I am God? A young man needs to understand that Jesus is God. He's God's son, right? And God called him God. When you're in the family of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three manifested in the one, then God manifested in the three ways or three functions or three personalities. So in the Spirit of God, the Elohim of God, when you understand the magnitude of that, then Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. And God is one. Then there's a roll call. Let's see how deep you are in understanding the Word of God. You know the commandments that were given to Moses, right? Those 10 that was written on stone. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness, right? Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. You do remember those commandments, don't you? He said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things for my youth. Now I want you to know something. That's a pretty good resume, folks. If you can stand in front of Jesus, or if you can kneel in front of Jesus, and God says, how good have you been? And you can just say, Lord, I'm not perfect, but these things I've done well. These things I've been able to handle. And there's something in that for each and every one of us. Because we all don't trip over the same thing. We're all tripping, but we're not tripping over the same thing. Just because one brother sins don't mean you have to go out and sin too. Do the same thing. That may not be that may not be your thorn in the side. That may not be your kryptonite. That may not be your struggle. You just want to get in it because somebody else is getting in it. Now, that's the problem. You don't know what kind of worms you're about to open up. You don't know what issues you're about to have. Be it physiological or psychological. But you don't know what cancer, the level of cancer that sin causes to your spirituality. The commandment says don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud one another, right? Honor your father and your mother. You got those folk around you, you got a pretty good camp around you, don't you? Take a look at your friends, get your pen and pad out, look at the people in your circle. We all know at least 30 people that another person don't know. Just start writing names and then put these by them, these seven things by them to see. Can you check off? Can you get to all of them? And as a matter of fact, put your name down on the paper. Matter of fact, we ladies just need to start with you. We don't have time to get to nobody else. And see how you measure up. But this young man says, listen, teacher, I've kept all these from my youth. The only way he would be able to keep these is that he had some praying parents around him. He had some praying guardians around him, some folks that kept him in the word so that he was, because he wouldn't know he had to be brought up right. And then he found to take some village in order to produce one good person. But he said, I've kept all this from my youth. What about you? I can't say this. His resume is better than mine when I have to use these indicators. I've kept it from my youth. Look at Jesus' response to a good man. Why do you call me good? This is your understanding of what good is. Then looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, see, God's love is so deep that he responds to those he loves. You want to get a response out of God? Let God exhibit his love to you. And that's based off of intimacy and in the intermittent relationship with one another. Not sporadic, but continuous. So we got to tune into the frequency of God. But many times we got too much distortion to be able to hear God. The Bible says in verse number 21, Jesus loved him. And he said to him, you lack one thing. Before I go any further, I want to say this. When you're talking to someone, you have a relationship with someone, there's a closeness that's built there. You're able to come and talk about difficult things and you want to inquire about things. You're mentoring, you're teaching, you're making a difference in their lives. You're answering questions. Good to see you, Brenda Belton. It is imperative that if you really love the individual that you're speaking to, that you tell them the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. I didn't say it'd be mean. But you have to find a way of helping them see themselves so that they can correct themselves. You lack one thing, Jesus says. Now here's a man that from a young man, we don't know how old he is at this stage, that we, as a young man, he has never murdered anyone, he has never committed adultery or fornication with anyone, he has not stolen from anyone, he's not bearing false witness or blasphemy on anyone, he's not defrauding or tricking or being slick, he's not a gold digger for anyone, and he's always honoring his mother and his father. Pretty good man, right? Pretty good resume for those that are coming up. And for us that are teaching your youth to help them to see that this is a good roadmap to start with. But he says, you lack one thing. What is it that this young man lacks? Go sell all you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure. That's a hard pill to swallow. Everything this man has to now take a back seat to wanting to get in heaven, to wanting to have eternal life with God. And unless God is a priority, unless he's at the forefront of your life, unless he's at the forefront of your giving, the forefront of your living, the forefront of your speech, the forefront of your office, unless he is coming through your prayers, unless you sweat God, so others will see that, then you have put God in a position that's secondary, and you lack something too. We all learn here. Because priority for God is something that we must do and we must continue to evaluate in our lives on a daily basis to make sure that God is getting his right positioning. And we are conduit pipe so that God fulfills his purpose to us and others become irritated. Not irritated, but irritated with the love of God. Many times when we get in the way, folks become irritated because you are really stunted there, bro, because they can't get God, they can't see God, and they can't receive the dose that they need from God. Why? Because you in the way. Get out the way. Let God use you. Let him come through you. We get so caught up in ritualism. We get so caught up in my way. Let's get caught up in God's way. Good to see you, Carmen Lewis. Well, Mark chapter 10. We're on verse number 21 right now. That God has given you a directive. And we find that he has. The directive here is eternal life. How many of you are looking for eternal life? Are you listening to what's going on here? There's nothing worse than praying to God for something and God granting it. Let me, a car. Say, Lord, this bus thing ain't working. I can't get people to pick me up. I don't have enough income for taxis or Uber and Lyft or whatsoever else. I need my own vehicle. It's going to be cars or a bicycle or a skateboard. It ain't going to work, Lord. I need something where I have some heat on in there. Can you help me out? And God grants you your petition. And so you're able to, but you didn't know how you was going to do it. You didn't know if the finances was going to work out. You know if you had enough for insurance. But you, by faith, you went on in and they sit down and went through the process. It was always a process. And in the end, they grant you a vehicle. But that's no more than God saying, this is what you asked for, and I'm delivering it in spite of what they said. He has opened the mind of Pharaoh and has made cars the way for you and granted you your wish. There's nothing worse than having that car that God's blessed you with. And you make it your car and not God's car. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Somebody needs to ride to church. Oh, you ain't got time to pick them up. But hold on, when you're on the bus, you have no problem. Now I'm talking about occasionally where things scheduling becomes an issue. I'm talking on a regular basis. Do you understand that if you use your car for the glory of God, of helping people, moving people around, helping whoever's on the bus ministry drive and pick people up and bring them to church, that's good. And God will bless you, make sure you have enough gas money and things that you need. Why? Because that's God's bus. He's not going to reach other areas simultaneously. Send you over here and send one over there. And we can grab more people, cover more territory, and come to a central location for fellowship in the Word of God and for the feeding of God. But when you get so arrogant and stuck up on your own that what God has given you don't belong to God, just belongs to you. Then you won't know why it's difficult if you're having trouble with the payment. You won't know why it's difficult after a while. It no longer belongs to you. They come and get it. Or you won't know why it's difficult that now the very thing that was a blessing, that was your favorite apple to the eye color, is now the very thing choking you. You got behind and the interest payments are killing you. Do you know that God will bless you and keep you balanced? But you have to know who he is. And you have to respect who he is at all times. Don't block your blessings by taking your eyes off God. God will do some things in your life and do some things for you in your life in his name, right? Because he's God, his reputation's on the line. But just like Peter walking on water, as soon as you take your eyes off God, you begin to sink. Soon as you stop using it for God's glory, soon as you take God's name off the title of the deed, as soon as you move God from behind the steering column, there's a problem that's going to take place. It could be immediate or it could be gradual, depending on God's time, but it's going to take place. That's the decay factor. And many of us are decaying, not knowing that we're decaying. We're like that leaf and fall that's still attached to the tree where the weather doesn't tell us one way or another, so we still receive a little sap or a little rain when it rains down, but we're not receiving enough, and so we're still. So rather than have that forest green look, that very vibrant look, that young, energetic look, now all of a sudden we become a little more brittle because there's no more sap to it. Our color's starting to change. And although it's still may attach to what's around after a while, where there is no more sap and death is taking place, so you won't even have to pluck the leaf off the tree. It will fall by itself. Many times we have that problem in our life. We don't know what's going on with us. We're falling like leaves that have no source of nourishment attached to it. This young man's kept these from his youth up. And still Jesus says, yes, and I love you. He said, but you lack one thing. Now, he came there looking for an answer. So you would think once he received the answer, he would run away getting busy. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much. And get busy on correcting the problem because he wants eternal life. But I don't know if you've seen that movie with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, where Tom Cruise is the military attorney and he's grilling, prosecuting attorney, he's grilling Jack Nicholson on the band, on the, called the bandstand, on the witness stand. And of course, Jack Nicholson, with you, Tom Cruise, is an excellent actor as he is, just one of these one-liners by Jack Nicholson just steal the show. And he's just telling, tell the truth about what's happening. Come on through, tell the truth. And he's raising the level, trying to get Jack riled up and get him going. And eventually Jack says, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. And many times, what we ask for is not what we really hear. Can you handle the truth? If not, you need to be cautious about what you ask for. Because God ain't going to sugarcoat it. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. This is what it is. Go sell all that you have. Not some, all that you have, and give it to the poor. You have a lot of stuff that may seem like that can be treasured to somebody else, although it doesn't seem like as much to you. You may be hoarding stuff. You may have stuff in closets. You have more than you would ever know, but you don't understand that you are, what you have is enough to help a lot of people, whether you appreciate what you have or not. And many times the blessings of God are just like that. God's given us what we need, and we start asking for something else. God, I don't want that. This is the way I wanted it to come. I wanted the car, and I wanted to have this, this horsepower. I wanted to move this fast. As a matter of fact, I only wanted to use gas because I don't want to have to pay the tab. You lack one thing. Go sell all you have and get to the poor. Question to each and every one of us, what have you asked God for? And when God gives you the answer, and he will, go, get busy, is what he's saying, with what I need you to do. To this young man, this young lad, you have a lot of stuff. Go sell everything that you have. Not some, don't leave nothing behind. Everything that you have, and give it to the poor. Now, when you do that, God sees your obedience to what he's asked you to the letter. Not the question, but to the letter, and by faith. He's going to bless you. You can't be God-given. If you really believe I'm God, you can get rid of everything and still know I'm going to take care of you. But see, that's a mindset that many people who walk in Christianity or talk in Christianity or wear a cross, but don't bear a cross, they don't really understand. Faith is trust personified. That what God said he would do, there's no question in that it's going to get done. I know that God blesses me. Struggles come, but I've been trained to be a hard worker. I can make it through the storm. Why? Because I'm looking at the rainbow on the other side. Now, yeah, I may shed a tear. I may have to wipe off some sweat. I may have to get a little sleep. I may have to get re-energized for the battle. But I'm not going to run from the journey. Why? Because I know God is my blessing on the other side. And I don't want to miss no more blessings. I wonder how many I left behind because I would not persevere through. You too are not a lack of blessings. God has a boatload of blessings for you. Matter of fact, daily his compassions are new every day. Do you know when God woke you this morning, he had purpose for you? Now be truthful. You don't have to tell me, or you can if you'd like. Have you used every moment or the opportunity that God has presented you with today to bless somebody? Or have you used it for your own selfishness? What one thing do you lack? Well, maybe more, because you may not make up some of these. But there's at least one that we all have to work on. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. See, it's more important, Jesus is saying, to have treasure in heaven than it is to have treasure here on earth. Don't miss that. What is treasurable or valuable to God is not necessarily treasurable and valuable to your local banker, to your bill collector, to your boo. Treasure in heaven is wrapped in love of doing God's work and God's will. And so, if you really want to please God, right, and it's only by faith, because remember Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, right, must believe. You must have faith. And you must believe that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The rich young ruler had to find that out right here. He ran to Jesus. Right? Here's a man who has a whole lot. He runs to Jesus. Here's a man who has a whole lot. He understands that he needs to prostrate himself in front of Jesus. He answers Jesus, and he asks a question. You're the teacher. I'm the student. What do I need to do? And upon hearing that graduation, a magic robe and crown, eternal life in heaven with God. What do you lack? But his response when he got the answer, ours is many times. Look at the Bible in verse number 22. But he was stunned at this demand. You urgency, an emergency that is so important, and now you have what you asked for. You're no longer in doubt. You're now clear of notions. You have understanding. All you got to do is get busy, and your place is secure. But what he heard was quite contrary to what he wanted to hear. We didn't get rid of all my stuff and my stuff. He was stunned at this demand. It wasn't even an option. You want eternal life? This is all. This is what you need to do. Get rid of that, and eternal life is for you. Bible says, not only was he stunned, he went away from Jesus. Grief came open as a picture, came excited, came energetically, came motivated. Got word and got information and left grieving. As if a death had just taken place. God shouted execution style. Because God knows what it is he loves more than God. You can't play God. You cannot play God. He was stunned at this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. How much stuff you got? And all that put together, does it belong to God or does it belong to you? If you had to give away everything that you had, and basically we do have to just give our life to Jesus, put it all in his hands. The money we make don't belong to us, it belongs to ministry. Come on, preacher, now you're meddling because, you know, I only have to tithe a little bit. I only have to give 10%. That's all God asked for me. No, that's what he asked for them under the Mosaic law. Tithe and offering, and you don't get your offering until you've broken your, until you went past your 10%. Right? That extra. But what we don't understand is God's concerned about that 90%. You can't just grab a check or get that money on Sunday or whatever you do and whatsoever else, and then and you got your 10% in, you think you're fine, you got your ticket, and next thing you know, we find out that you're the biggest cocaine addict on the block, or you're the very pivotal point of the drug dealer in your neighborhood representing God. Is God on the line for that 90%? How is your reputation in your life? Are you using that 90% to bless someone else, to bless others? Or is it just all you? God is your 10. I got 9. Now, the thing about God is God's not going to force you. He's going to give you the power to make those decisions. But he's also going to monitor what you make, the decision that you make, because the amount of blessings you give is going to equate to the amount of giving that you do. God always gives more, but if you stunt God in giving, God may stunt you in blessing. There are a whole bunch of blessings waiting on me, but I got this long plunger of, that I have to go and pull the sin out, right? Because it's a cloud in my spiritual drain. But when I get it out, all the mess going to come down on me till I get it cleaned up. Allow God to clean you up from the inside out. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What one thing do you have? We all have at least one. Ask God for it. Don't be stunned by it because God knows us, right? And get to work on it. Ask God for help in that area. Don't linger. Ask for him to help you. You will receive if you're sincere what you need so that God can rule and reign in your life too. You will be rich spiritually. You will have youth spiritually. And you will have status with God spiritually. Hope, trust, and pray that this lesson has blessed you. If you're here today and you haven't measured up like you should, maybe there's some things you didn't know, but now there's some things you do know. You need to make a change. Repentance and confession is in line. What do we have to do as children of God now? You have to be baptized for the remission of your sin. Good to see you, Brother Kenzie. Praise God for you. You have now heard God's word. And this rich young man, this rich young ruler, as we understand, a man with status, he's young, and he's full of possessions. Good to see you, Lucinda McClendon. This man that has so much, but yet we find out they gave this based on the answer of Jesus that what he had was really his God, and God who he wanted to worship and wanted to be was secondary. Because if not, he would have rejoiced when Jesus said, you need to flip-flop and things. What you have, get rid of. And he got busy doing all that. He wouldn't have been scared. He wouldn't have been devastated. He wouldn't have been leaving there grieving and mourning like he just went to a funeral. He would have had a posture of excitement, knowing that whatever he had, God gave to him, and whatever he needs, God will provide. Because what's most important to him is not life on earth here, but eternal life with God in heaven there. I don't know about you, but what's most important? Are you glad and comfortable here? Get your lazy boy chair. Get a couch potato here. And you don't have to do nothing. But if you want to go to heaven, heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. You got to get busy. And it's not so much what you're doing for other people. You got to start with yourself. And the only person, the only individual, the only source that can really tell you about you is who designed you, God. So you must have a relationship with God, that you talk to God. And remember, God gave you two ears and one mouth. That means we have to speak half as much time as we hear. That means that we have two mouths and one ear because we want to talk twice as much as we're going to listen to. If you ask God, he will give you the answer. And then you need to take that answer in warmly, even as constructive divine criticism, and get busy on it. Don't leave as if God has just shot you execution style. Because the very intent of your heart, God pays attention to. Because what you cater to and you love the most starts in the desires of your heart. If you're here today and you need prayer, in our online ministry. You can just type in what you need. You just need prayer. You ain't got to give details. If you want to get details, you can. Or you can call on our Blog Talk line right now, 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. And we can talk about it. We can pray together about it. Again, we're broadcasting in Norway. We're broadcasting right now in Canada. We're broadcasting through the continental United States. We're in your home, from the outhouse to your house. And we're in my home. And God is present, a very present help in the time of need. If you have sickness in your family, maybe you ain't had everything. If you have a praise report, you just want to shout how good he is, don't blow this opportunity to let someone else know the goodness of God in your life. It's decision time. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly. You shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did you hear that? Your soul needs rest. Your soul needs rest. And it can have nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Your soul needs rest. Because by hearing his word, as we heard the word from God, strictly from God's word, to hear the word, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That hearing causes one to believe. Right? Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it's impossible to believe. For he that cometh to God, that's possible to please God, excuse me. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You want to please God, you must believe that God is. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. What when? Now, right now. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. And without it, it's impossible to please God. For you must believe that God is. And it's God that is the reward of them that diligently seek him. Do you diligently seek God? How much effort do you put in to get to God? Good to see you, Nettie Dawson. Hearing, believing, causes you to change your mind. That's what repentance is. It's a change of mind. A change to God. I've been doing it my way. You've been playing Frank Sinatra song all through your head all this time. I do it my way, but you need to do it God's way. Repentance is turning to God, walking with God, doing it God's way. But many of us are getting dizzy doing 360s like a top. Do a 180 to God. Because you've been messing up all this time. Allow God to do something in your life. Luke 13:3-5, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Without repentance, none of us is going to heaven. Repentance is part of the plan. Must cause you to confess the sweetest name to ever roll off a mortal stone. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32, he that confessed me before men, him that I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Look at that connection there. But he that denied before men, him that I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That be close. So, if you confess Jesus, Jesus confesses you. If you deny Jesus, Jesus denies you. Matthew 10:32. And then you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. You must be buried. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord are called unto himself. Peter said on the first gospel sermon after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Pentecost right? Acts chapter 2. But if you won't believe Peter, think about what Paul said in Romans 6, 3, and 4. Remember, you're not that so many of us have been baptized into his death, connect with the death of Christ. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Who? By the glory of the Father. Who raised him? By the glory of the Father. He was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even though we all should now walk in the newness of life. The resurrected that we will see comes from the Father so that we can walk in the newness of life. But it only comes after we've been buried in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. So if you won't believe Peter in Acts 2:38, you're not really convinced to Paul in Romans 6, 3, and 4. Will you hear Jesus in Mark 16, 15, 16? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But Brother Preacher, I'm already a member of the body of Christ. He's got a few things going on. And then what I need to be, just a good dose of repentance and confession will restore you back to the fold. But no, you can't be restored back to something until you obey the gospel call. That ain't in the denominationalism. Oh, hold up, preacher. Watch it, watch it. No, God ain't into denominationalism. I'm not saying that to hurt nobody's feelings. God ain't into a part of a whole. God is a whole kit and caboodle all himself. He wants you to have all, not part. And so why he going to give you part when he give you all? Amen. Decision time. We're going to sing a song, the invitation. If you need prayer, just type in your prayer request. Or just, I need prayer or something. There's death in my family, there's sickness in my family. I'll get it off of Facebook. I'll hear it right on Facebook, and we'll have prayer with you. Call into our blog talk line. We still got a half hour. Call in 614-924-0767. I said that wrong. 619, that's the prefix, 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. Call in right now. There's a few people online now. Call in right now, and we'll be able to talk to you then. Holding on, holding on, holding on. Well, I'm going to keep on holding on. Well, we got to keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Well, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Said I've never been to heaven, but I have been told. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. They say that the streets are up there, they are paved with gold. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Oh, we gotta keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Church, we gotta keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Now, if you get to heaven, I'll be for I do. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Tell all my friends that I'm coming to. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Family, we gotta keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Church, we gotta keep holding on, holding on, holding on. Lord, I'm gonna keep on holding on. Let's together pray. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, you're awesome, God, in many ways. Everything you do leaves us in awe like wet puppies. We want to thank you today for the word of God. And we want to thank you for the examples you leave for us in the scripture so that we can parallel ourselves, line ourselves up, and be able to see ourselves in mirror-like fashion to be able to be better for thee. If heaven is to be our home, we have to prepare now. And so we thank you for giving us the preparation mandate. Many times we look at the Bible as just basic information before leaving earth. But I look at the Bible in a fashion is because I believe in life eternal. And if you too believe in life eternal, then you will be more invigorated when you hear that God has identified an area that you need to work on. In love, he's perfecting us. And like that potter on a pottery wheel, working out those rocks and that sand that's in the clay, he's helping us get rid of those things so that we will be able to be solid with thee. Father, we love you. We adore you. We're praying for sickness everywhere, for those that are incarcerated, those that are looked at as second-class citizens. Praying for those on the line and those that are under the sound of my voice, even at this day, Father, whether you're locally, nationally, or internationally. Praying for those in Norway under the sound of my voice right now. Praying for those in India under the sound of my voice right now. Praying for those in Uganda under the sound of my voice right now. Praying for those, Father, that are in Canada under the sound of my voice right now. Praying for those in the continental United States under the sound of my voice right now. Father, we're praying for those here that are on Facebook Live and on Blog Talk Radio. And we all bow and are used as a vessel under the sound of your voice from the scripture. Father, we thank you. Don't stop loving us. And don't stop chastising us, for you chastise those that you love. And although the whipping don't seem a little sweeter, we know that you do it for a reason, and we just want to say thank you before the next strike. Correct us when we're wrong, build us up all week, and strengthen us when we've been torn down. And we're asking you to allow the Holy Spirit, who also works in conversion, for those that are thinking about baptism, to get off the fence and to come on in. For time is short. That expectation and anticipation needs to be moved to the forefront. We love you, we adore you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. We're getting ready to go to the Blog Talk line. So for those of you that are on, call in at 619-924-0767. 619-924-0767. Also, we have online giving. You can go to www.GolgothaChurchOfChrist.com under the Donate tab, and you can give there a love offering of any amount from a dollar to whatever, or you can give a tithe offering as well. Or you can, if you want to use Cash App, just hit me up and I'll give you the Cash App. That's $GCOC1, right? And you can do it through Cash App. If you use it through a credit card or something of that nature, you can also do it through PayPal, or you can mail a check. Just hit me up, type in, hit me on, or you can just type it in on my message line, or give us a call, right, or however you want to do it, and we will make sure we contact you accordingly. We're thanking you in advance. Let's go to our Blog Talk line, and let's see who we have over there and see what they have on their mind at this time. Big Joe! How you doing, Doc? Big Joe, how you feel today?
Hello, man. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, can
you hear me? Yeah, I gotta plug something so I can talk. So I can talk to you because I got my headphones in, but I ain't got no talk back. Hey, all right. How you doing, man? I'm good, man. I'm good.
I'm feeling good, my brother. How you feel today?
I feel pretty good, Mike. I feel pretty good because considering that I was trying to go to that thing at Buddy Guy's Legends, that blues thing, Bob LaShore is going to get a blues award. And they had this big thing where you have to get this kind of pass. It costs $30-something to get in. So Ron had one. I went down there. And, you know, I saw Mike Whelan and him sitting there. I said, yeah, well, I want to say hi to Bob LaShore. Well, no, you can't come in unless you have this pass. I was like, well, I just wanted to say, let's holler at us. No, you can't do that unless you have this pass. I said, wow, okay, well, I tell you what, I got a better pass than that. I left because, see, my heat wasn't on at the crib for a couple of days, and I needed to get something to eat, and I needed to do all that. So the Lord gave me a better pass than me standing around trying to get in Buddy Guy's. So when I got home, my heat was on, you know what I'm saying? And all that was good. And I went and got me some good food because I had some money on my link card, even though I ain't have no money, period. And the Lord made that better than what I had to do with Buddy Guy's. So I came home. You know what I'm saying? So I get up in the morning because, see, I'm not going to, like in that scripture, in that book, I'm not going to let Jesus walk past me. You know what I mean? I'm going to reach out. I'm not going to let Jesus walk past me. And, you know, when I do make my mistakes, I'm going to get up and ask Jesus to help me. You know what I mean? And that's the bottom line. So I can move on without none of them. I know I had my birthday went by. And the birthday was cool, man. And, like, everybody tried to, like, you know, like, hey, man, come on, have a drink. Do this, have a drink. Do that, man. I had a little drink. I said, okay, I have a drink. But then I thought about it. I said, well, this is what I used to be. I'm not this anymore. So you know what? After that next day when I woke up, I said, hey, I can't attend any of those events anymore, including my own. Because if it's going to be that way, I don't have nothing to do with it. That's why my actual birthday, I was with my son all day long. And that was the best birthday present I could have, walked on two legs. Amen.
Yeah, and I know, you know, you had your spiritual birthday here back in September. We talked about that.
Right.
9 years old, and we baptized you a year ago. And so these things happen.
Right.
But the reality is that you're learning. You're seeing, Lord is showing you various things in your life in the mirror,
right,
and you're seeing the outcome of those, and you're being able to analyze, man, this is what I was doing, this is what I used to do without thinking about it, and now I'd rather do this, I don't want the result of that, whoa, whoa, whoa. And that happens every day we need to be a little better. So I'm just glad to hear
that.
How's Jack doing? How's your son doing?
Right.
How's your son doing, Joe?
How's my what?
How's your son? How's Joshua?
Oh, Joshua's fantastic, man. He's fantastic. Thank the Lord. Joshua's just doing just great. He's coming along. I had to, like, reel him down on that video stuff a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But that's just like a father dealing with his son. So, you know, I know kids are going to be kids, but I got to, like, get them to understand something, you know, like, that thing can be very addictive. And so I don't want him to get, you know, too addicted looking at that thing, you know what I'm saying? Give it a break. I know you do it sometimes. It's a game, but leave it alone sometimes. So we get a better understanding of that. It's good.
Praise God. Send my love to him, Doc. Send my love. It's so good to hear your voice. And a happy birthday to you, man. I'm glad to hear that you're analyzing your own growth. And that's a blessing to see yourself and move in the direction that you need to. Praise God. I want to go to my wife. Sweetheart, you there? How you doing today? Maria, are you
on? Hi.
There you are.
Hi. Brother Joe, hi. I didn't know it was your birthday. Happy belated birthday. Okay.
All right, baby.
I didn't know your birthday. So let me know the date next time I can do something about that. I didn't know. So happy belated birthday. Okay. And honey, Brother P, in regards to the sermon, what I take from that is God knows the heart of all men. And when we ask God things that we are unaware of the answer, we're seeking for knowledge. We're seeking for, you know, for help and wisdom. And we ask God, and God reveals what He knows our heart, what we need, because He knows the answer. He understands our hearts. And sometimes our answer that we get can stun us, as you indicated, as the Bible says, or can make us sad and make go away sorrowful or grieving. But that's when we at that time is when we ask God for wisdom and enlightenment to get to that point so we can do something about whatever we're asking to be received, so we can receive it from God. And whatever we got to do to get rid of, I guess you should say, and when God reveals it to us, we have to. If it's hard, just we ask God for help to get rid of it, because God definitely knows all that we need to ease our Holy Spirit. I mean, the soul, ease our souls so that we can relax our souls, that we can, so our souls can rest in eternity. So God knows. So when we ask these questions, we may not be ready to receive that response, but when He gives it to us, that's when we go to Him asking for help. If it's too hard, if it's going to make us sad or whatever it is, let's ask God for help to deliver what He's asking from us, what He's seeking from us.
That's right. That's right. It's so important. And as you get older, you learn, you know. As you get older, you learn a little bit more about yourself, what God is showing you. He already knows, but it helps you to be able to recognize and know how to handle some things. You know, I used to get so upset when, you know, you set a plan and the folks wouldn't work the plan or wouldn't work around. Now I just get busy because I know that me and God are majority. If God has given it to me, put it out there, all I got to do is just keep working. If others fall, you just keep working. God's going to make it happen. And He'll still have you standing. He'll still have you standing. And others will be amazed because they thought that they was the main course, and they found out that God was the main course. God provided where others lacked. And so, just like you say, honey, it's so important to be able to continue to move forward and to continue to identify. That's what I love about what Big Joe was talking about, being able to identify those difficult things in our lives and what we used to do versus what we are. And we're a sanctified people. You're a saint, not an ape. And so you have to be able to set yourself apart. And we have to remember one major thing that a lot of times is missed, not only in the White House, but missed all the way in our house sometimes, is that God is about holiness. Holiness is chaste and is pure and is truthful. And so unless we run our lives and move that way in our decisions and the way we speak, where we talk, where we walk, where we act, then we will always be just short of understanding what it is God is going to have for us to do. I want to encourage you guys today to keep it on. Appreciate those comments about Big Joe, about my wife, so true. And you just do something for somebody today that they can't repay you for, giving Jesus Christ and then crucify. We love you. Have a great day. There's a blog talk, radio line. Thank you for tuning in, baby, on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you soon. God bless in the name of the Lord.